Thank you. It's nice to be here. If I talk like this without the mic, is it okay? Can you hear me if I talk about this level? Okay. Like I said, it's nice to be here because I've heard about this program for so many years, and so many friends of mine have visited here, and I have lots of friends teaching here. So it's a real pleasure to be here. Lois and I were talking in the car from the airport about how nowadays most of the times when one gives a reading, you usually read with someone else. So since poetry readings, no matter how good they are, should never go for more than, say, 50 minutes. You usually only read for about 20 minutes or 25 minutes. And I've always wanted to, and I have at times when I read alone, to spend some of the time reading other poets' poetry. And I decided to do that tonight. I want to read one poem by Hart Crane, who's a favorite poet of mine, a poem called Voyages. And I'll start with that, and then I'll read some of my own work. If you're not familiar with Hart Crane, and this poem in particular, it might be hard to pick up a lot or get a lot from this poem, so I'll give you a brief introduction of the poem. It's a love poem. It's also a sea poem. It intermingles, mixes the imagery of both of those things. And if you just look at the poem as sort of, or try to hear it as a ancient sort of romance story, boy meets girl, in this case boy meets boy with Hart Crane. They fall in love. One lover decides that it's no good, and they break up. The other lover, the poet, is crushed by this, very saddened, destroyed, etc. And then at the end of the poem, even though the love is dead between these two living human beings, the poet still believes in love, with a capital L. That's basically what goes on in the poem. It's in six sections. There's lots of strange words in here, etc., that I still have to look up after looking them up about 10 times. But if you just try to hear the texture, the density, the richness of the language, I think you'll get a lot out of the poem or something. And then you can read the poem if you like it on the page. Voyages, one. Above the fresh ruffles of the surf, bright striped urchins flay each other with sand. They have contrived a conquest for shell shucks, and their fingers crumble fragments of baked weed, gaily digging and scattering. And in answer to their treble interjections, the sun beats lightning on the waves fold thunder on the sand. And could they hear me, I would tell them, oh, brilliant kids, frisk with your dog, fondle your shells and sticks, bleached by time and the elements. But there is a line you must not cross, nor ever trust beyond it, spry cordage of your bodies to caresses too lichen faithful to too wide abreast. The bottom of the sea is cruel. Now he's talking about the sea in this poem, in the second section. And yet this great wink of eternity, of rimless floods, unfettered leewardings, semi-cheated and processioned where her undinal vast belly moonward bends, laughing the rapt inflections of our love. Take this sea whose diapason knells on scrolls of silver snowy sentences, the sceptered terror of whose sessions rends as her demeanor's motion, well or ill, all but the pieties of lover's hands. And onward, as bells off San Salvador salute the crocus lusters of the stars, in these poinsettia meadows of her tides, adagios of islands, oh, my prodigal, complete the dark confessions her veins spell. Mark how her turning shoulders wind the hours and hasten while her penniless, rich palms pass superscription on bent foam and wave. Hasten while they are true. Sleep, death, desire, close round one instant in one floating flower. Bind us in time, O seasons clear and awe. O minstrel galleons of Carib fire, bequeath us to no earthly shore until is answered in the vortex of our grave the seal's wide spindrift gaze toward paradise. 3. Infinite consanguinity it bears, this tender theme of you that light retrieves from sea plains where the sky resigns a breast that every wave enthrones. While ribboned water lanes I wind are laved and scattered with no stroke wide from your side, whereto this hour the sea lifts also reliquary hands. And so, admitted through black swollen gates that must arrest all distance otherwise, past whirling pillars and lithe pediments, light wrestling there incessantly with light, star kissing star through wave on wave unto your body rocking, and where death, if shed, presumes no carnage but this single change upon the steep floor flung from dawn to dawn the silken skilled transmemberment of song. Permit me voyage, love, into your hands. 4. Whose counted smile of hours and days, suppose I know a spectrum of the sea and pledge vastly now parting gulf on gulf of winds whose circles bridge I know from the palms to the severe chilled albatross's white immutability, no stream of greater love advancing now than singing this mortality alone through clay aflow immortally to you. All fragrance irrefragably and claim madly meeting logically in this hour and region that is ours to wreathe again, portending eyes and lips and making told the chancel port and portion of our June. Shall they not stem and close in our steps bright staves of flowers and quills today, as I must first be lost in fatal tides to tell? In signature of the incarnate word, the harbor shoulders to resign in mingling mutual blood, transpiring as foreknown and widening noon within your breast for gathering all bright insinuations that my years have caught. For islands where must lead inviolably blue latitude and levels of your eyes. In this still, expectant calm, receive the secret ore and petals of all love. 5. Meticulous, past midnight, in clear rhyme, infrangible and lonely, smooth as though cast together in one merciless white blade. The bay estuaries fleck the hard sky limits, as if too brittle or too clear to touch. The cables of our sleep so swiftly filed already hang, shred ends from remembered stars. One frozen, trackless smile. What words can strangle this deaf moonlight? For we are overtaken. Now no cry, no sword can deflect this tidal wedge, slow tyranny of moonlight, moonlight loved and changed. There's nothing like this in the world, you say, knowing I cannot touch your hand and look too into that godless cleft of sky where nothing turns but dead sand splashing, and never to quite understand. No, in all the argosy of your bright hair, I dream nothing so flagless as this piracy. But now, draw in your head, alone and too tall here, your eyes already in the slant of drifting foam, your breath sealed by ghosts I do not know, draw in your head and sleep the long way home. And the last section. Where icy and bright dungeons lift of swimmers their lost morning eyes, and ocean rivers churning shift green borders under stranger skies, steadily as a shell secretes its beating leagues of monotone, or as many waters trough the sun's red kelson past the cape's wet stone. Oh, rivers mingling toward the sky and harbor of the phoenix breast, my eyes pressed black against the prow, thy derelict and blinded guest waiting a fire, what name unspoke I cannot claim. Let thy waves rear more savage than the death of kings, some splintered garland for the seer. Beyond Sirocco's harvesting, the solstice thunders crept away like a cliff swinging or a sail flung into April's inmost day. Creation's blithe and petaled word to the lounged goddess when she rose, conceding dialogue with eyes that smile unsearchable repose. Still fervid covenant, Belle Isle, unfloating dais before which rainbows twine continual hair. Belle Isle, white echo of the oar. The imaged word it is that holds hushed willows anchored in its glow. It is the unbetrayable reply whose accent no farewell can know. Kurt Crane.